When was the last time you stumbled onto a parade? Now, since I've moved to New Jersey, the number of parades I've randomly run into is exactly zero. But when I was living in New York City, I wandered into parades all the time. In fact, I can't even count how many times I left my apartment in the Washington Heights neighborhood of Upper Manhattan and ended up in the middle of something like the Dominican Day Parade. I would suddenly find myself stuck between a giant float blaring reggaeton music and dozens of traditional male Dominican dancers wearing full-body beaded costumes with the head of a bull. All I wanted to do was to get to the other side of Broadway. But police barriers, bachata dancers, and sidewalks full of people waving tiny American and Dominican flags always stopped me in my tracks. My first response to this little setback was usually the normal New Yorker and New Jerseyan response when something or someone gets in our way. But when you run into a parade with tens of thousands of participants, getting mad never changed anything. So I would just refocus. Look for a break in the parade and an open police barrier, and then try to dash to the other side. Yet in this process of wiggling and squeezing and maneuvering my way through the crowds, I usually found myself stopping and actually watching the parade. The bright colors on the floats, the grace of the dancers, and the boisterous wordplay from every single float-based entertainer always enticed me. I would always end up stopping somehow in the front of the crowd, and someone next to me would hand me a tiny Dominican and American flag, and I would wave them to the beat of every song from every float that came by. Then after a bit, the alarm bells of my eternal to-do list would remind me that I was super late, and I'd dash across the street, getting to the other side. My timetable for that day was usually shattered. I would be late to everything that day. But for all intents and purposes, that's the only thing about my day that would change. My to-do list would still get done. I'd still be able to get to where I needed to be. And as much as I was enthralled by that parade, I always left it pretty much as the same kind of person I was before. That unexpected parade ended up changing very little of my everyday kind of life. Now, when I hear Mark's version of Jesus' journey into Jerusalem, I often wonder about that person who unexpectedly stumbled onto his parade. Imagine for a moment being a shopkeeper or a farmer or a beggar, or maybe one of the thousands of pilgrims visiting the city for the great religious festival of Passover. You'd try to cross a busy city street, but you couldn't because of this man riding a colt. In front of him would be people waving palm branches and putting their clothes on the ground to minimize the dust that's being kicked up. Others around him would be shouting a very odd kind of phrase, saying, "Hosanna," which could mean rejoice, but also means save us. On first glance, this parade would appear like it was pretending to be something bigger. Unlike Matthew and Luke's version of this story, Jesus' parade isn't really puffed up. Nowhere in Mark's text does it talk about a large crowd being there. And Jesus doesn't make any grand statements about prophets or judgments against the city. Mark keeps Jesus' parade small, because in some ways, that's who Jesus is in this moment. He isn't like a great general or king riding a big and powerful horse. He's surrounded by followers who are waving palm branches and who don't own swords or weapons or armor. And when Jesus' parade is finally finished, Jesus does a very small thing. He doesn't teach or heal or speak or even tell a story. He takes a tour of the temple. And after seeing everything, realizing how late it was, he immediately leaves the city. The grandness of this moment is very tempered in the gospel according to Mark. For the traveler or beggar or city dweller watching this pretend parade, I imagine they would be annoyed at being delayed. But that to them would be all this parade was. They would still get to do everything they needed to do. And this vision of a man on a colt would shortly fade, barely registering as a memory the following day. The smallness of this Jesus moment would be, for the person interrupted by it, just a tiny blip in the story of their everyday life. Now, as a church, we tend to treat this Palm and Passion Sunday as an opportunity to highlight a truth about who we are. We are, as human beings, the same people who shout with joy, joy, when God shows up, and then respond with crucify when the minute God's values suddenly clash with our own. By holding together these two events that are separated in Mark by several chapters, we imagine that Mark is making a statement about the one kind of person that exists in the world. Yet the smallness of Mark's parade introduces to us another option. We are the ones who shout crucify, but we are also that person in the crowd going about their daily life. We are living in the only way that we can. And sometimes we barely notice the parade that interrupted our day. We saw this man on a colt, but since he didn't seem that important, we didn't ask for his name. We saw the others waving branches, but didn't ask what those people hoped for. We heard the cries of Hosanna, of people asking to be saved, but we didn't care enough to ask them what they wanted to be saved from. We were there instead on the sidelines, possibly intrigued by what we saw, but not enough to actually ask who this Jesus is. Rather, we were so caught up in our everyday life that we didn't even notice when Jesus rode in. But even though we didn't see Jesus, Jesus saw us. Because Mark's gospel on this Palm Sunday created something that the Reverend Benjamin Dulholm calls a null, N-U-L-L, moment. A null moment to me are those moments in Jesus' story when a lukewarm or inattentive experience of Jesus is something that we can totally have. I personally don't know anyone who can spend every second of every moment of their life focused on God alone. Instead, we live daily lives full of experiences, struggles, and joys where we never, sometimes, intentionally engage with our faith at all. All of us are caught up in the everyday busy of everyday living. And when some random parade unexpectedly crosses our path, that doesn't always change what comes next. But just because we have these null moments with Jesus doesn't mean that Jesus has these null moments with us. Because as we hear in today's story, Jesus looked around and he saw everything. He saw what was in God's temple. He knew where that cult would be. He saw the people in the crowd who responded to him and those whose daily life was barely interrupted by his presence. Jesus saw all of us in all the ways we can possibly be, from the fervent disciple waving palm branches to the member of the crowd shouting, "Crucify," and even that indifferent person hanging out on the sidelines. Jesus saw all the ways that we can possibly be, and he still loved us anyways. Because as we will shortly hear, the God who knows all the different ways we will react to God's presence is the same God who will react to us in the only way God can. With a love that will meet every cross that we build. With mercy for every violent act that we embrace. With a hope that will overcome every injustice that we ignore, and an offering of peace for every broken part of our body, soul, and spirit. Jesus is here, not letting our reaction to him end up being the limit to how much he will love and serve us. Instead, he will march us through into a new reality where our everyday kind of living will be totally changed. Amen.